Today we continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. And by noteworthy, I mean verses that stick out. Amen? And if you haven't already, I invite you to visit my website, which is allthecounselofgod.com. All the Counsel of God. Run all the words together.com, allthecounselofgod.com. You'll find many studies and lessons from the Bible. Amen. Let's get right into our lesson today then. And I want to read chapter 13 of the book of Judges. And in verse number 3, the Word of God says this: "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." Look at verse 6 with me, if you would. "Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name." Let's look at verse 8 in our chapter. "Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send, come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born." And then finally, verse 11 in our chapter 13 of Judges. "And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spaketh unto the woman? And he said, I am." Well, what stands out about these verses is these are great verses for showing that angels appear as normal looking men in the Bible, which means there are no female angels, and there are no winged angels. Let's also look in the book of Revelation with me, if you would, chapter 21, in verse 17. The Word of God has this to say, "And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of man," that is, of the angel. And then in Acts chapter 12 with me, the book of Acts 12, in verse number 15, Acts 12, verse 15, the Word of God says this: "And they said unto her, Thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel," and referring to the Apostle Peter. Now let's continue our study. We're in the book of Judges right now, and I want us to turn to Judges chapter 17 and verse 10. And the Word of God has this to say, "And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel in thy victuals. So the Levite went in." So, hence, what stands out about this verse is the Roman Catholics call their priest father. Amen. And it's an idolatrous practice that violates what is said in Matthew 23, if you'll turn there. Matthew 23, in verse number 9. Jesus is speaking. He says, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven." Now let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2, in verse number 13. And the Word of God says this: "And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. What's interesting is the offered sacrifice here pitches a sinner in hell. So when cartoonists draw pictures of Satan, they portray him in hell holding a pitchfork. Amen? Now let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. Word of God says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Now let's drop down to verse number 7 in our chapter here. It says, the word of God says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." Drop down to verse 17, and we'll read down through there. And we read, "And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, hiding nothing from him, and he said, It is the Lord, let him do which seemeth him good." Verse 19, "As Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let alone none of his words fall into his mouth. And all the children of Bathsheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." What I want even precious in verse 1, amen. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21. 1 Samuel 4. And we want to look at what it says here in verse 21. 1 Samuel 4, verse number 21, the Word of God says, "And she called the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." Ichabod meaning no glory. If you think about it, would make a fitting name for most churches in the Laodicean church age. For example, Ichabod Baptist Church or Ichabod Worship Center, Ichabod Assembly, Ichabod United Methodist Church, and so forth and so on. Amen? Now let's look at, turn to 1 Samuel with me if you would, and we're going to go to verse chapter 20, in verse 1 Samuel 20. 1 Samuel 20, verse 40, we read, "And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad, and said unto him, Go carry them to the city." Amen. Now there's nothing archaic about the word artillery. Yet some of the new perversions, some of the new so-called modern Bibles, replace the word with weapons. Amen. Get into look at some verses in 2 Samuel with me. Chapter 3. 2 Samuel 3, and we'll look first at verse 30. It says, "So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in battle." Look at verse 27. "When Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother." Now, according to verse 27, It was Joab alone who slew Abner. Yet we are told here that Abishai was also guilty. Abishai didn't physically play a role in the murder, but he was in agreement with Joab in wanting it done, which makes him a murderer, according to what we read in the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 15. First epistle of John, chapter 3, and verse 15, the Word of God has this to say, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath life, hath eternal life abiding in him." Now let's go back to 2 Samuel in chapter 10 with me, 2 Samuel 10. And in 2 Samuel chapter 10, we want to turn our attention to verse number 12. The Word of God has this to say, "Be of good courage. Let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good." And I point this verse out to you just to say, this is a great memory verse for the Christian soldier, is it not? "Be of good courage, let us play the men for our people, and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good." Now let's look at 2 Samuel with me, chapter 19. 2 Samuel 19 and verse number 18, the Word of God has this to say, "And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household, and to do what he thought good. And Shimei the son of Gera fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan." Amen. For some reason, what I want us to see here is ferry boat is not clear enough for some of the new so-called modern versions, perversions, amen? So they change it around. Should be just left alone. It's very easily understood what a ferry, we all know what a ferry boat is, amen? Now we're going still in 2 Samuel, and we want to go to chapter 23, and look at verses 3 and 4. The Word of God says this, "And the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springeth out of the earth by clear shining after rain." What I want us to see here, point out to you here in these verses, what we see here is the passage that in 2 Samuel 23, verses 3 and 4, the passage points to Christ at the second coming in the establishment of his millennial kingdom. Amen. Now we're going to turn our attention to the book of 1 Kings. And I want us to turn to chapter 3 and look at verse 7 together. And the Word of God says this, and hence we get from this verse, we say a man doesn't know if he's coming or going. Amen. Alrighty, 1 Kings, we're still in the book of 1 Kings, and we want to turn to chapter 21 together and look at verse 25. Word of God says this, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up." Now, what we find here is this. Two modern expressions are found in this verse. One of that of a man selling out when he makes an immoral compromise. The other one is someone being stirred up when they are motivated by someone or something. They are always stirred up to do something wrong, though not always. Amen. Now let's look at we're still in 1 Kings, rather. And we want to turn to the next chapter, 22, in verse number 8. 22:8. It says, "And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we can inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." All right. So what we want to see here, there was one true preacher around then, amen? And he was hated. And what I say about that is this. Nothing has really changed, has it? The preacher, the true preacher who preaches the words of Almighty God, just as if found in the words of God, is hated. Amen. When he doesn't tickle the ears of the congregation and make them feel good. Amen. And they leave sometimes feeling bad about themselves, which they should. That preacher, instead of being honored, is hated. Now let's look at 2 Kings. We're going to go to the book of 2 Kings now. And look at verses 4 to 8. Chapter 4, verse 8. Chapter 4, 2 Kings, verse number 8 together. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shuham, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was, that as often as he passed by, he turned hither to eat bread." So what we see here is there is only great woman in the Bible. This is the only great woman in the Bible. This woman is called great. No other woman is called great in the words of God. Now, if we go to 2 Kings chapter 5, in the passage beginning in verse 1 through 15, is the cleansing of Naaman. And what the cleansing of Naaman pictures is a sinner being cleansed of his sins. Some great points are found in the story on sin, witnessing, humility, faith, assurance, and joy. So as you go down and you read that chapter, those first 15 verses, you will see those great points are found in the story of Naaman's cleansing. Sin, witnessing, humility, faith, assurance, and joy. Now let's look at 2 Kings with me. We want to look at chapter 9, 2 Kings 9. And once we get there, let's look at verses 33 to 36. "And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink, and said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her. But they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite in saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And what's interesting, what I wanted to point out is, here we get the, hence we get the expression, gone to the dogs, amen. Gone to the dogs. Now we're going to be into, journey into the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. In verse number 10. 1 Chronicles 4:10, the word of God. Of God of Israel, saying, O thou wouldst enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God grant that which he requested. Now, what I want to point out about this verse is, although terribly exploited for financial gain by Laodicean publishers and bookstores in recent years, the prayer of Jabez is still a true blessing. What's interesting, it's being planted smack in the middle of endless genealogies of First Chronicles. That's why it's important. I know sometimes it gets tedious and genealogies, but God puts a blessing in there, right in the middle. Right there, he sticks in the prayer of Jabez, amen? And if you didn't go through it, you'd miss a blessing. Now, let's turn to 1 Chronicles in chapter number 12. 1 Chronicles 12. And let's look at verses 32 and 33 together. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200. All of their brethren were at their command. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. What stands out about this? This is a great place to have marked in your Bible. The reason I say that is it stresses the importance of two things: having an understanding of the times and keeping rank by not being double-hearted. Amen. Now we're going to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. We're going to see in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, which is probably very familiar to all of you. We read, we just read it, although doctrinally the verse is for the nation of Israel, not any church, there are some good spiritual points to be gleaned from the verse. And most preachers have probably preached from it at least once. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now let's look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. In verse number 6, notice what the Word of God says. Howbeit, I believe not their words, until I came and my eyes had seen it, behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Now, what we get from this verse, what I want us to see, is we get our expression, you haven't heard the half of it. You haven't heard the half of it. Now let's jump forward to 2 Chronicles chapter 15 with me. In verse number 17. And we want to see here what the Word of God has to say here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 17, and it says this, "But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days." What I want us to notice here is that a heart can be perfect even when the outward actions are not. This is because biblical perfection is wholeheartedness and not sinlessness. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 is a good reference when talking about being perfect. Amen. Now, let us go to 2 Chronicles. We're still in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 30, in verse number 6. The Word of God says, "So the posts went with the letters from the king and his princesses throughout all Israel and Judah, in according to the commandment of the king, saying, Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and we will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Syria." Amen. So to this day, what I want to see about this verse, it stands out. So to this day, people who deliver your mail are called postmen from the postal service. See, as it said, so the post went out with the letters from the king. Now, let us turn to 2 Chronicles with me, chapter 36. 2 Chronicles 36, in verse number 16. We read this. "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy." So, what I want us to see this about this is, in spite of this profound truth handed to us by the Lord, very few of the brethren will accept it. Even fewer will apply it. The fact is that there comes a point when a nation strays so far from God, there is no remedy. Jeremiah 7, verse 16, even says that it can be too late for prayer. When this happens, people can say, "God bless America," and pray for revival until they're blue in the face. But their country, their church, or their convention will continue to spiral downward in apostasy. Amen. Now let's look at verses 22 and 23 here in this chapter of 2 Chronicles. 22 and 23, it says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth has the Lord God of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all the people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." So here we see this proclamation for the Jews to go up to the land of Israel at the end of the captivity has a second meaning. 2 Chronicles just happens to be the last book of the Hebrew Bible, and the last command is for the Jews to go back to Israel. And they've been doing this by hundreds of thousands over the past few decades. They did it by the millions during the 20th century. By God's providence, all of this is in preparation for the Christ return, for Jesus Christ's return. Amen. We're going to stop there, and we'll continue next time looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.